there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Word to your mother.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Two Cool Moms. I am Joe Gatto.
Hi, I'm Steve Byrne.
Steve Byrne, question for you. When is enough enough?
Daddy's hungover.
You got the shades. I love it.
Daddy indulged last night. I've been on the wagon for quite some time. I didn't go crazy, but it was just like...
It was enough.
Even like just three or, like...
3 or 17.
Yeah. But it was like, yeah, why am I doing this? Like, it was fun at the time, but again, you wake up and you're just like, why? Why?
Have your kids ever seen you... like when you're hungover and your kids like jump in to wake you up, like what's that like? Because like you, right?
I posted a picture on Father's Day of them waking me up when I was hungover. And so my son's on my lap going like this. My daughter's taking a picture and I'm like, get the hell away from me. I posted it on Father's Day. Might still be up. But I don't think they're old enough to know.
No, but I just mean when you're not ready to like play with them. Like I don't drink, but I've never had a hungover thing. But there's been times where I was just like either, I had
out all
not,
night.
Yeah, had not enough sleep or whatever.
Sure.
And I remember one where I was just sick. I wasn't feeling good. And I was laying in bed and Remo comes into my bedroom and he goes, Dad, are you done being sick? I want to play. Like, and he got like mad at me about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, buddy, I don't feel good. And he went, when?
like you can just.
Right, of course. Because he didn't understand it. He was like 43 or 4 years old. It was very funny.
My wife would on occasion pick me up at the airport. Maybe like a few years ago, I would just be a little more into like having fun.
Right.
Whereas like the last few years, I kind of rein it in a bit. But she would pick me up at the airport with the kids in tow. And anytime I'd still be in my suit, mm-hmm. I'd get in the car and she'd just go, okay, well, I guess Daddy's going to take a nap as soon as he gets home. I was like, yeah, because she knew I was out all night until my 6 a.m. flight.
Until you got the flight.
Yeah. So I was.
You do this thing where you get the first flight home all the time.
Always first flight, okay. Always, because then you have at least three or four more options if something goes wrong.
That's part of it.
So you can get, and the airports are less crowded, and I like just getting it over with, because then...
Right, you're just waking up to wait to leave.
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock, now I'm at home, and I have the whole day at home. Even if I take a nap, I'm sleeping in my own bed.
Yeah, right? The whole day, to just shun your children and nap. Yeah.
Pretty much. Sorry,
Jess. For the comfort of your own home.
Sorry, Jess. She's the best, she really is. She's just so very patient and accepting of... The lifestyle.
My dad, my father, when he had gotten sick, mm-hmm. We had the choice to take him home and bring him in hospice. So my father was at home and he had a hospital bed in his room. And I remember this. And we'd always hang out, all of us being in his room and stuff mm-hmm. and whatnot. And we ended up getting him a baby monitor. So he could like call down, if he needed anything and whatnot.
Instead of ringing
the
bell.
Need downstairs, yeah.
Jeeves.
So yeah. We told him, hey, we could talk and whatnot. And we had surprised him with a dog. We wanted to get it. He wanted a dog, but my mom didn't want one. And we were like, we're going to my dog.
Was this what started it for you?
No, this is separate. Sorry. We bought this one, actually. And we went and got this dog, and her name was Lady. And she came up one day, we're having dinner or whatever, and she had like a little, collar. So you'd hear the ching, ching, ching.
Yeah.
And my dad was... like loved the dog, but the dog, he had like tubes and stuff, whatever, so the dog could really be in him. So Lady, one day we're eating dinner, eating lunch, and all, my dad's on the thing, he was napping, and we hear the ding, ding, ding through the monitor, and I hear my dad giggling, and we're like, what? He goes, somebody want to come get this dog? And we went upstairs, and he had the covers like over his face to protect the tubes, and the dog was just jumping, and he was loving it and licking all over his face and whatnot. And and we went upstairs and we're like hanging out with my dad in his hospital bed. And when he was like, I'm like, what do you want to do? And he's like, I don't know, you want to watch something? Like, we would just hang out with him, right?
Yeah.
And it was just so funny just to be hanging out with your dad, even though he was sick at an older age. Like, you understand what it's like just to be able to spend time. But when you're a kid, you're just like, oh, come on. Like, I wish I could have been like, what?
Yeah. Get up. My God.
This is not as fun. Yeah.
So how long did that take place for? Was that?
About 3 months.
3 months.
Yeah, we have a family joke because my dad passed away, and
my dad died. You guys are gonna love this joke. Hang tight.
It's not more of a joke than
right.
You know, you know, cancer.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
So my dad died 5 days later. My sister was answering the door to get flowers or getting delivered to my father for the family, whatever. And she opens the door, and lady runs out, gets hit by a car, and dies. And my God, sister called my
There's
sister.
Nothing funny about this.
Wait, my sister calls my mother. My mother starts hysterical laughing. She's like, "Well, your dad wanted the dog." It was so funny.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah, so he took it with her.
When, you know, you always hear the stories of, like, you know, when you bring a newborn home, the dog gets extra protective.
Yep.
Could the dog, was Lady, like, keen or sensitive to your father?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
knowing
super.
It was, knowing your father was bedridden?
Yeah, laid at the foot of the bed and stuff. Yeah, they're really? Super intuitive for that way, dogs. It's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, you scroll through and then you see, like, pictures of dogs laying on... Or laying next to somebody's gravesite.
Yeah.
And, like, the dogs will cuddle up there. And I find that fascinating.
That's craziest to me when people are like, oh, you know, the dog knows and things. Like, you see those videos. But even the ones that when the people come back from, like, you know, vets and stuff, when they come back from a tour.
Right.
And the dog remembers them and goes crazy. Like, yeah. Those are insane that the dog even remembers that much.
You know? Yeah. The ones I'm always fascinated are, like, every now and then you'll hear about a dog. The family moved.
Yep.
They lost the dog. And then, like... 2 years later.
Knock, knock.
Yeah. That's the one that freaks me out.
That's insane. I feel like those are made up. You ever hear about the family, the family, their dog?
That's like a horror film.
It is like a horror film. Like, I don't trust that dog. What's that dog?
What's up, motherfucker?
Remember me? Woof, bitches.
He's like, fuck, I'm sorry, I didn't know. We look for you.
Check the camper. Yeah, there's one about this guy that in Montana.
He came here to mark my territory, bitches.
This guy went hiking in Montana.
Yeah.
And he had a camper. No, he had a camper. He left a dog in the camper. He got stuck. The dog freaked out that he couldn't find him. The dog broke out of the camper and went and found him.
No.
Yeah.
This is the stuff that, like, I find... it's just like your first reaction is like, there's no way this is real, right?
It's crazy. Yeah.
I've read stories about scuba divers that have gotten caught.
Who takes a dog scuba diving?
No.
This feels made up. But they go sparky dog paddling.
They get caught in some wreckage while they're looking for treasure hunting or whatever. Yep. And dolphins have been keen to go down and, like, move things and help these people get out.
Really?
I find that, like, I remember coming across that story a few years ago. I don't know. I think it's so easy. Like, I always like that bit about Sebastian. He's like, you know, when we had a dog, it was just a dog.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was kind of the mindset maybe in the 70s or 80s.
Yeah.
Just like the dog barks, you know, you have company over, it's out in the backyard.
Yeah.
But nowadays, they're so much more a part of everybody's.
100%. I mean, my dogs have a room. They have a dedicated wing where these animals live. But you know what? You know, it's so weird. I saw one recent. The one that's most recent that's out now is this woman was swimming and just swimming, and this whale comes up to her, and she's like all like nervous. This big whale, and it just like hides her.
Oh yeah.
And then there's just a school of sharks come.
That's right.
And she hid behind this whale.
Mm-hmm.
Like, first of all, if a whale's coming at me, I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna die. Yeah, this whale's gonna eat me.
It's gonna swallow.
Hello, yes, Jonah it. Yeah. Right? So, you know, but like, bring a candle. I don't know. How do you light that candle on the inside? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But why is there a candle inside a whale? Anyway, we always want the dogs for protection, right?
Right.
So Bessie is at home. I'm on the road one day, right? And of course, like I always was. And Bessie, I come home and Bessie's like, this is very funny. I have to show you this.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so my one dog, Biscotti, is like the barker and the, you know, the angry one, right? But the protective one, right? So Bessie hears a noise. And she takes the dog and holds it like a gun under her arms. And she like opens the doors like a weapon. Like she opens the doors and she just pops the dog in first. So all you see is Biscotti mid the door opens and an airborne.
It's like a small dog.
Small white dog, and just comes out with like her head like through the doorway. I was like, what would she do? If she barked, you'd have to put it down so she could attack.
Yeah.
She would just be swimming in the air. It was just so funny to see the door open and then it's just a dog head floating. It's so funny. I love Nest cameras. You catch so much funny stuff.
Oh,
from that.
God. America's Funniest Home Videos. It's like
that's it.
A third of them are Nest cameras.
Yeah, they're just the falls out front. Ugh.
The one thing I want to ask you, because you have so many dogs, do the dogs, are they intuitive to know when, because you give a lot of these dogs like their final months in like a really nice yeah. space, obviously. Do the dogs pick up on that? Are they a little more, I guess, like maternal towards the dogs that are sick, or are they just kind of doing their own thing?
Yeah, they come up and cuddle them.
Do they really?
It's funny because we could always, we kind of see which one's going to die next because they're getting a lot of love.
No way.
It's crazy.
Really?
You see them come over, like some of the older, the younger ones. So like my youngest one, well, we have one puppy really, Cupcake. But besides Cupcake, the next youngest one I think is like three. Like there's not really a four right. or five, four, right? No, Napoleon's three. So, and then it's like, then there's the jump, right? Then there's like nine and then there's like 47. But like the older ones, like they'll come over and they'll just like start, you know, sniffing or whatever. And then Biscotti will just like lay on the bed of this old one that she never really hangs out with.
Right.
And there, and like a couple of days later, it's like,
wow,
yeah,
that's
it's
wild.
Great. And we just, we tuned into it like three or four. It took us about three or four deaths to be like, oh, they like, no.
That's how they do it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Yeah. I don't know. As I've gotten older, I've always wanted a dog. We, you know, never really had one. We had one like when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But my folks got rid of it pretty quickly.
Did it go to the farm or what happened?
It was like a typical thing when you're a kid, like, in the 70s, they just chain them up in the backyard and that was it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we got a dog. It never came inside. I never played with it.
Oh.
It was a German Shepherd. I remember that. We had it for like a few months and then they brought it to a shelter. And that was it. And ever since then, I've always wanted one.
That was great.
But I'm just never around enough to give it the care.
Well, you'll miss it too, which is interesting. But I'm going to start taking Spumoni on the road with me.
Are you really?
Yeah, Spumoni's my travel dog. So now I'm starting to get like dog friendly, hotel rooms and stuff. I've traveled with her a couple times. She's awesome. She's
you're getting,
small.
You're getting a little queenie, I would say.
I am. You know what?
Do you hold it like this?
And just underneath, she got her bow.
Yeah.
Her Louis Vuitton
shoes. Will you guys wear matching bows and bring it on stage?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I do a thing called the Hero Roundtable every year where I go talk about one of my anti-bullying things, and I bring her every year, and she's like a little mascot there.
Oh, really?
People take pictures with her. It's really cute. And then when I go out on stage, she comes and jumps up and sits up because it's seated. I have a conversation, and she comes out and sits on my lap.
And she's that comfortable.
She's
wow,
awesome.
That's pretty wild. Yeah.
I don't know how she would do while I'm on stage, though, because she'd probably freak out, and I can't have her on stage with me.
Yeah. Or maybe get like one of those doggy beds and just put it there.
Yeah, it'd be fun. She'd steal the show, though.
I remember Gary Cannon, our good friend, he is huge into rescue dogs. Yeah. And at one point, he had like 19 or 20 dogs, and it caused like a real rift in his... It's why he's divorced. Sorry, Gary. I mean, it's public. He'll talk about it. Yeah. But anyways, he loves dogs. And he brought this one rescue dog to the Ontario Improv with him. Oxnard Levity Live. Sorry, Oxnard. Doesn't matter. And this dog... is a shelter dog. It is scared. It can't be around anybody but Gary.
Right.
Okay, so Gary's holding it. Now Gary goes on stage. He's like, can you just watch the dog? I'm like, yeah, but this dog doesn't want anything to do with me.
No.
The minute Gary leaves, it's barking. It starts barking. Now there's barking in the green room. The audience is like, what the hell's going on? And it's like, ow, 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 ow. So I had to open the door and we had to hold the dog
so
the dog
could
see
Gary. Oh, wow.
It was crazy. And then I went on stage and I was explaining to everybody, and Gary brought the dog out on stage and the people were freaking out. The dog was really cute.
It
was just holding it up and the dog got so quiet and it was just like,
moment.
I'm born for this.
I took its curtain call.
it was pretty wild, but just to see attachment like that.
Yeah, I don't live at the house anymore, when I take Biscotti and Spumoni and they stay with me at the apartment.
Right.
But when I'm out of town, I have to drop the dogs off and they stay at the house with everybody.
Right.
So now, like the first couple times they realize that I'm leaving, like Spumoni would sit at the door and just night.
Oh, wow.
And wouldn't leave the door until I came back.
Really?
Like she does that now. And now Biscotti won't even get out of the car. So like when I drive back to the house and we pull back into the house, she's like, I have to carry her into the house. She won't even jump out of the car
That's
anymore.
Wild.
It's crazy. Yeah.
All the personality ticks. When you see those videos of people picking up a dog from a shelter and you see it in the cage and it looks mangy, and then you bring the dog in the car and the dog's like on the guy's lap and licking the face. It's
freedom
like,
rides are the best.
You want to do that.
Those are my favorite. They call them freedom rides.
Oh, really?
And the first time the dog puts the head out their window and stuff.
Yeah.
We have pictures of every dog we ever rescued with their freedom ride.
Where's the videos of the dog taking a dump for the first time in the living room?
Yeah,
And then I going, mean, God damn it. Are you kidding me? You just did this. You just did it.
It ain't all rainbows. I'm not going to be one of those guys that tells you that. It's hard work. And a lot of them are, you know, it does suck a lot. Like, it does take a while for them too, but they're so appreciative. Yeah. They just are in a different way. You know, they just are. Because Cannoli, we bought our first one. She's our diva. She's 9 years old right now, and she is such a diva. Like, she'll, like, you know, walk around the house like
I was paid for.
Yes, I'm a Bichon Frise, guys. Yeah. Right? So, like, it's just such a different thing. Like, and then we got Biscotti, who was just, like, so appreciative, so attached. Like, this is what, like cuddles and, like, all that.
Sure.
And, like, Cannoli's more like a cat. Like, I'll come to you when I'm ready. But then, oh, I'm in. She's sweet and stuff. But, like, she has her own thing. But the rescue dog's like, where are we going? Well, you walked five steps. What are you doing? Like, it's crazy, you know? Like, when Bessie walks around the house, she just looks like the Pied Piper. Like, all these little old dogs are like, where are we going?
Just massive dogs. But cats suck.
Yeah, you're not. I'm with you. Cats I will say, suck. Though, when I'm spending time at Q's house, his cats act a little bit like his relationship with his cats is very dog-like. Like, they come to him, he'll sit and pet, they roll over on him and like that.
He's very affectionate towards the cat, so I'm sure he's getting what he's giving.
Maybe.
But
some cats just ain't having it.
No.
Yeah.
No, we had like two cats when we had a cat. I don't think I told this story before. Mm. We had a cat. We called it Thriller because it looked like Michael Jackson in the Thriller when he came up and went like that. It was so cute. And I called it Thriller. So Thriller was with us. And I wanted to like this cat so much because I loved Thriller, right? And I loved calling it Thriller. It was like such a cool name. I was like, oh, that's a cool name for a cat. So this cat, I would travel so much, it got so attached to Jess that when I came home, it was a threat. It hated me.
Oh, no.
And I'm the one that, like, loved it. I was always looking for it. I'm like, come here, Thriller. And I'd try to pet it. It would take off. It wouldn't
just attach to her.
So then I was going, and I came back, and it started pissing in my shoes. It pissed my shoes. And I like, just got these shoes or whatever. I'm like, what the fuck? And I was like, there's no way. This smells like piss. I'm like, I don't sweat like that. It was right. Like, so it took me a second to catch on. I'm like, did the cat piss in my shoes? I go away again. The cat took a dump in my shoe, and I was so pissed.
Not the litter box. You know how not hard the litter that box. Is? They, oh, like, that's instinctual.
But it went.
That was a vengeful poop.
It went. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was like, she's mine. And it just took a dump in my shoe, and I was like, that's it. And we took it to the shelter and gave it away. I couldn't believe it. And then we got another one, like a year or two later, and this one didn't want
masturbating
anything to
my loafers.
Just a pink thing. So with this one didn't want anything to do with either of us.
Really?
And every time we tried to show it affection or play with it or get it like a cat toy or anything, it would just run away.
Yeah.
It was always hiding from us. And we thought, okay, let's give it a few months. It never came out. So again, we're like, all right, maybe it's us. We're doing something. So we brought it back to the shelter. It was a bummer.
Yeah.
But even when we tried to get it, it would like scratch us up.
Yeah.
It was like there's angry towards
us. There's a cat in my house. My in-laws have a cat, Desi.
Do the dogs?
No one knows it's there, including me. I've seen it three times in my life. They've lived with me 6 years. Never seen this thing ever. They have to take it to the vet. They have to do a full blown try to catch it. They like three guard standards to go after it. It's insanity. I was like, how do you even enjoy this thing? I went in there. They were on. They had gone on vacation. They went down to see family in D.C. They left, and I said, all right, I got to check on Desi. I had to get something out of their room, actually.
Yeah.
So I go down and get something out of the closet that was in their room, and then Desi was on the bed and just looked at me like, and I was like, oh, that's what you look like. I've never really seen the cat.
Right.
So I was always, when she moved in, I was like, oh, we're going to be afraid that like the dogs will know. This, I'm not kidding you. I've seen the cat maybe five times. Never see this cat.
How long has it been?
6 years.
That is crazy.
It lived in two of my homes. It lived in the first house when they moved in with us.
Yeah.
And then we moved to the new house. It moved in with them in their room. It stays in its room. And it's the happiest cat. It just loves hanging out there. Yeah.
I always wanted to get like a kitty puppy combo because I think you got to do it. That's how you do it. You get them very young so they grow up with each other. Because we have a cat now, and my kids love it, and it loves the kids.
Yeah.
It really is affectionate.
Kids, right? Yeah.
And I think I said this before. When they go to the bus stop, it sits at the window and meows at them.
Yeah.
And then when the bus is pulling up, it runs over the window and waits for them and comes in and starts doing the thing against the legs. And it's like cordial to me and Jess.
It's cordial. It asks you how your day was but doesn't care. Doesn't care on the reply. It's like, how was your day? And then starts doing dishes.
It just keeps walking away. Yeah. You see that little pink butthole and a tail wagging.
Yeah.
But yeah, I always thought, boy, it'd be fun to have a dog and a cat. But I think you got to do that early.
You can introduce them later, but it's tough. It's tough. You need to have a very
because both are so cat. Cats are extremely territorial.
Yeah,
I think more super, so than dogs. 100%, don't you?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Milana wants a cat. She's been asking for a cat forever. Can we get a cat? Can we get a cat? And I'm like, no. I was like, I can't do that to this. I can't bring your cat into a house with this many dogs.
Go to the room.
I was like, go find Desi.
Yeah.
Go play hide and go seek with Desi. Yeah. She doesn't even know there's a cat in the house. See what I'm saying?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into it.
Let's solve some problems. Thank you so much to all our fans out there that have been writing in, following us on at Two Cool Moms Pod on Instagram and submitting your questions. And, of course, subscribing to the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Much love.
By the way,
you're almost at 100,000.
100,000. That's crazy. Yeah. So, like, an extra big thanks to everybody.
For
that
sure.
is crazy within a short amount of time.
Yeah, so jump
we've gone to that. And we haven't even gone on any of the podcasts to promote it or anything. It's just all through... I guess
Mom of Mouth.
What'd you call it?
Mom of Mouth. Word of Mom? I don't know. Okay. Mom Mouth?
Mom of Mouth. I just put it together. I'm like, oh, yeah, Mom. Okay.
But my boy's been drinking. It's a case of Mom Mouth.
Gatorade, please.
He's got a case of the Mom Mouth.
Okay. This comes to us from Katie. Hi, Cool Moms. I was wondering if you guys have any advice for nighttime anxiety, specifically anxiety when I'm trying to fall asleep. I am often tired all day, but the second my head hits the pillow, my mind starts racing, and I think about anything and everything. I've tried a lot of things, including taking medication, cutting out caffeine, writing in a journal before bed, but nothing seems to help. Any tips? Thanks, and love you both, Katie. That's very sweet. Katie, love you. I assume you wrote this while you were trying to fall asleep.
Yes. I think
we're here
that,
for you.
Yeah, I think the big thing for that I've heard about this a lot, the journal thing is very nice. It gets your thoughts out on paper. The other thing is to not pick up your phone past 7 p.m.,
Yes.
That's a big thing. Don't read the news. Don't jump on social media to see what people are saying or anything. Just shut it off and don't keep your phone by your bed. Try that for a week and see if that helps you out a lot. That's some advice I had heard about. I had a very good friend of mine who had the same sort of thing, couldn't sleep at all while we were on the road. And that was a thing that he did, and it helped him extremely. It helped him a lot. The other thing I will say is, just stop being anxious.
It's so easy. Just do it.
Just don't be anxious, yeah. Right? Look, there's a lot
Stop
going on.
Stop being sick, Dad. Yeah. Just come play
just
with
come
me.
Play. When?
Yeah.
When are you going to go to sleep? I think the big thing that'll help because you have to identify what's contributing to your anxiety. And I think subconsciously all of us get triggered by the world and the news and what people are saying online. So I think maybe that will help you be a first step.
This is something I've dealt with quite a bit. Have you? I think creative types, especially.
Yeah,
I've heard it from so many of my friends. Do you have issues with it or no?
I've not had many issues. I did have a little bit when the world started falling apart for me a little while ago. But that sparked it.
Yeah,
and it was more that I was just always thinking about stuff. Right, you're
sure,
always
yeah.
thinking. You're always thinking. You're recapping the past, decisions made, things like that. But I was reacting to a specific situation, so I don't think like an overall anxiety. No, I've never had that.
You know. I've dealt with this, and I think what I found helps me is I put something on that helps me fall asleep. Mm-hmm. Like I watch Jiggy's comedy or something.
Gotcha. Yeah, like, lulls your right to sleep.
Of course, yeah.
Lulls your right to sleep.
But what
Jiggy's got a special on YouTube. Guys, check it out.
Yeah.
It'll play. It's called The Snoozer.
I couldn't make it past where you guys are from. I was like, I'm out.
Okay. I get to, ladies and gentlemen,
But honestly, what I found helps is two things because my mind races and I think of all the things you need to accomplish and you go down rabbit holes, right? So what I started doing was I would, during the day, go through everything. I'd kind of like plot out, okay, my checklist of like, okay, have you done this? Have you contacted that person? Have you gone through this? What can you do for this? Okay, write that down. And so I was kind of like getting ahead of it before I could do it at night. So I was working through it at my desk in my office. And I would just kind of like go through everything that I'm working on. What am I maximizing every opportunity or whatever? So I was just like going through everything. And so at night, I kind of had a clear conscience of like, well, I already did it.
Yeah.
I did it. And so
you got in front of it.
I got in front of it because the things I was always thinking about, I found were professional goals or things I'm looking towards achieving or writing that script or rethinking that scene. And so I was just putting everything ahead of it in my day and making it part of my routine,
yeah,
as opposed to it striking up at night. And then for some reason, I also found reading helped me out. If I'm in those situations, I would just pick up a book by my nightstand now, and I have this little light, and I read, I get through a chapter or two, and then it takes you off the roller coaster.
Right, your brain.
Basically.
Right, and puts your brain on a different path.
Completely on a different path. And then the other thing that's helped me is, for some reason, if I put in the first Lord of the Rings film.
Really?
I swear to God, I never make it past 15 minutes.
That's what
and
Jiggy,
I love those
movies. That's what Jiggy named his first special. That's odd. He got the rest of trademark stuff. Wow. Good job, Jiggy. How'd you do that, buddy?
Precious. Just Jiggy on state.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's like, hello, where are you from? did you ever try melatonin? The melatonin pills?
No.
Yeah, people got on that shit too, like melatonin.
Anything medicinal,
yeah,
or I've always tried to stay away from
it. I never, yeah,
even like if I'm sick, I was like, oh, you should take this. I'm like, no, nope, I just want my body to, I don't know. I just have an aversion to.
You don't want to put anything bad in it.
My body hurts. Do that again.
You're okay, mommy. You'll be okay.
When my jaw was broken, they gave me like painkillers and I wouldn't take them.
I got a kidney stone.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the pain
was
killing me. And they were like, you know what? They're like, we'll give you some morphine. And
I've heard that is the worst,
yeah, it was bad,
experience.
It was pretty bad. It happened to me twice.
No.
Yeah, I don't hydrate enough. And the first one was actually as a result from something I did on the show. And the second one was just because I wasn't.
Is it like
enough.
Literally like a pebble that comes out? Like,
it's like a, well, you know, it's a huge rock. It depends on the size of your hog. But it's. It's
you just
get this boulder out. You know, like you know the old school cartoons like Tom and Jerry when a water bubble, like he puts a water bubble in the hose and you just see it going. No, it normally passes through. They give you a thing to try to catch it in, like a streamer that you pee through, and you try to get.
I love that you call it a hog, by the way.
So weird, such a weird word.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Also, I've never even seen them actually physically come out. You just feel better. But I had gotten. They gave me morphine. And I'd never taken, like really a painkiller, right?
Yeah.
And I just instantly threw up like everywhere.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't even handle it, my body.
But the process of that traveling,
yeah,
through your urethra.
Yeah.
And then.
Your urethra Franklin. You gotta show it the RESPCT.
You're hitting high notes.
You showed it the RESPCT, buddy. You find out that you gotta pee for me. Rock it to me. What you want? Woo!
You are the best at your musical puns. You're in your bits towards the end of your set. 1, 2, 3 o'clock rock.
Yeah,
that always makes me laugh.
It does.
God damn, it's so funny. But that I heard.
The pain is, yeah.
It's because you're not hydrating. And then somebody told me you need to have like lemon in your diet.
Citric acid?
Yeah.
Because they told me to you have citric acid, so they make you eat a bunch of citrus, like lemon and grapefruit.
So that can help curb it off.
Yeah.
But ever since I heard that, I get unsweetened tea and I get fresh lemons all the time.
Smart,
yeah.
Smart.
I don't want it to happen because I've heard nothing but horror stories about it.
It depends on the size of it, too. Like some of them are, and how much it settles and stuff.
I don't have a hog.
I meant the pebble. I meant the kidney scone.
Kidney scone?
Scone, yeah, for the British.
But so it does come out and like, do you, it's like
some people do see it depending on the size of them, but the size of the thing, they give you a strainer to pee in, but I've never seen it come out.
You never wanted to see what was inside?
Well, it's a lot to always hold and pee, because you're hydrating so much, you pee a lot, you know?
Right.
And it's like, oh, you gotta do this with this, you know, you're holding the colander and you're peeing it. You know, you got to.
But it just, it passed through you and then you're just like, get it away?
Yeah, so because sometimes they test it to see why you're getting them. But I know why I'm getting them. It was because I wasn't hydrating. There's two different kinds. I don't know exactly what the two different kinds of stones are. One of them happens because you don't have enough citric acid,
right,
and not hydrating. And one of them happens because, like, you have, like, lymphoma. I don't know what the other reason you get it is.
Oh, God.
It's like But there's two different reasons. There's two different types.
Yeah.
So sometimes they want to test them. And when you get it multiple times, they say we should test them. So the second time I got one, they're like, we should probably try to test it. You should probably try to catch this one. I was like, I will. I didn't.
Oh, God.
Drink. Take a drink. Take
how long? How long of a process is it to have it pass through you?
It depends on where it is. Sometimes they start up high in the kidney.
Oh, no.
Or if that takes a little longer to come out. The pain really happens when it's starting to work its way down.
Yeah.
But if you're hydrating, and they give you something to open up your urethra Franklin's. They give you something to open up your urethra Franklin's. They give you a drug that just makes it expand. So it's like the floodgates open.
Right.
Powerful peas. And you just, you know. So that's really kidneys. Thanks. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah.
How do I sleep? Listen to this conversation about kidney stones. You're welcome.
This podcast will help you.
Yeah, there you
fall
go.
Asleep. Yeah, good luck to you. I think everybody's got their own process, though.
Yeah, it sounds like she's trying stuff. I mean, all we could do is give you more things to try, and hopefully you find your thing. I do like your idea of getting out of your own way and thinking throughout the day and preparing for sleep. I think that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
It definitely helped me because I got to the root of it. I was like, what is it I'm thinking about? And it was always professional.
That's smart.
And then I just said, okay, give yourself that time to think it through. So anyways,
okay.
Good luck to you, Katie.
Katie. Much
we're
love.
Rooting for you.
Yes, we did our best to put you to sleep with our conversation.
This is coming to us from Alex. Here's a question. What's your favorite thing about doing the show together?
Oh, for me, it's learning more about you and like finding like why you are the way you are. I really enjoy that journey. Like hearing your stories about growing up and stuff, it's really cool for me.
That definitely is... you know, the questions always spur these things out. Like, I never knew you had a kidney stone.
Yeah.
So you're definitely learning about each other.
Yeah.
But again, like, I think there's every episode, there's something you do, like Aretha Franklin, that will just gut me.
Well, you are very similar.
It's so funny.
I love to make you laugh. I really do. Like, there's two people in the world I love to make laugh. Sal Vulcano, and make him fall down laughing, and you, make you fall down laughing. But you both have that same thing where, like, you get on the brim and you start wearing it, and I'm like, I get the son of a bitch, and I'll just keep going. Yeah, and I just keep going. Like, you respond very well to that type of comedy with me.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah, again, I think even when we started this, we're always friends. We toured together.
Yeah.
But, the opportunity to do a podcast together is something totally different because then you're really working together.
Right.
And I think what I've really come to appreciate about working with you is just how buttoned up you are with everything. Like you dot the I's, you cross the T's, and it's so easy to watch, you know, you on stage or from the show and think, oh my God, just what a down-to-earth, freewheeling kind of, it's like, no, there's another side to it as well, where you're super professional, like you take care of your stuff. And I think sometimes, you know, just working with comics in the past, whatever, it sounds like it's going to be fun,
right,
it's going to be great, right?
Yeah.
And then it's just like, no, are we working on this or am I working on this or whatever? And what I've come to learn is that how useless I am on this podcast, but how, honestly, how professional you are with everything and learning how professional you were, you know, with the show, even in production and everything and all the extra effort you put in everything. So that was
I enjoy the work. I enjoy the work too. So I think that's part of it. But like you are, you definitely, all the different projects and stuff you have up in the air, we still make time. I mean, you fly into New York to do this. Like, you know,
because it's a blast. I mean, I really do enjoy it. I think there's anything you care about doing, there's a ton of sweat equity, especially at the beginning.
For sure.
And this is one where it's just like, no, this is work.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's never felt like work.
Yeah. I think that's probably definitely up there, making you laugh. And then also, I did, which I think was a byproduct for both of us, we actually get a lot of thank yous from people that we actually, because we didn't think we were going to really try to give life advice as much as we have.
Yeah.
This has really become a hybrid of like, there's sometimes where it's, I say to you sometimes, I watch the episode, it's not funny. I said, but it's good. Like we give, like, you know, like it's a different type of podcast for me where it's actually, we're giving a lot of our life experience because we've been through a lot of shit and it's really good to feel like we're actually having fun in a way and trying to make people help people.
I think the thing that I don't think I've discussed this. If I have, please stop me. But when you're out there performing, it's so easy to get caught up in just the train's left the station, we're going to Tucson, and that's it. Like, you're doing your show, you say the bits, You come off stage, you get something to eat afterwards, you go back to, you know, you're on the plane. It's so easy to just think of, like, the show is just another part of, like, the job, right? And there was a few incidents that occurred within a year and a half to me where it's just like, no, there's a reason some of these people are here tonight. There's a reason somebody's at the show. It's like, I need to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody said to their friend, you need to get out of the house tonight.
Yeah, right, right.
And so...
It had a purpose bigger than you.
Bigger than anything. And sometimes even I've discovered that sometimes I need that show.
Yeah.
Like I needed to hear that laughter.
I'm 100% with that right now.
Yeah, yeah. You address it all the time at your shows. Yeah. You bookend the shows with that.
Yeah.
And I think it's so smart to be aware, but also to communicate it to people because you're acknowledging, like I could get teary-eyed, you know, but it really is like I think it's so smart to say those things because people hone in and it just takes the show to just even for that second just another level of like emotional awareness of acknowledging to people. It's like, hey, you know, you might be going through something, so thanks for coming out tonight.
When you go through it as long as we have too, I think you recognize the give back. You know, we touched on this a little bit with our cool aunt when Q was on with us. But I think there is a new thing that you discover that it's like, oh, wow, I'm actually, when somebody's crying and holding you and thanking you for getting them through the darkest time of their life, you can't help but be like, feel that human connection and be like, wow, I'm doing something besides making a joke. And, you know, it's like, it's an interesting when you reach that part of it and it becomes a responsibility. It becomes like a, you know, that's my purpose. So.
Yeah.
And I feel like with this podcast, we've found, because we tried a couple different formulas in the beginning that we never aired. We should release some of that. We should release some of that. We had some good conversations. Our first podcast was called Yin Yang Parmesan.
Oh my God, I totally forgot about that.
Where we just got on, we're like, oh, what, two comics, we'll just end up talking. And we talked and it was okay. It was funny. There was a couple fun stories. And then we discussed and I was like, all right, let's give it a reason. Let's talk about stuff.
Yeah.
And I think in Yin Yang, we actually started talking about our mothers. And then I was like, I said, tell me about your mom. We started talking and we came up with the two cool moms concept.
It would be interesting to release those because we also did them over Zoom.
Yes.
And I think the very first one we did was almost like an interview.
Yeah.
Because I was so prepared in wanting to ask questions on behalf of myself and the audience of like things maybe people didn't know about you, right?
Yeah.
And we went down that rabbit hole.
It was a full like interview. You're right. I felt like I was on a press tour.
Because you said that to me afterwards. You're like,
you could talk.
What
Steve.
Are we doing? you're on the show too, right?
You can add value here.
And then there was another one where I think we had an episode where we're just thinking of names for the podcast.
Yes.
And there were some gems in there that were really, really
funny.
Yeah,
we'll release that. I'll try to dig that up. We should release that.
Yin Yang Parmesan. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And my hook was, I don't know how to spell Parmesan.
Yeah.
I don't know how to
spell like the cheese, not like the dish.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's crazy, man.
We'll do that. We'll put some of that out.
All right. Well, let's get into another one. Here we go. Okay. We did that. Okay. Hi, cool moms.
He just tried to tell me how long we've been going on, and this is what he did. I'm not kidding. He didn't commit to how many minutes that was at all. Let me guess what is it 20, 37?
37.
It is 37? But you know you went like this. It was like you just did a magic trick. You had flourish.
You caught me off guard. You gave me the eye of like, where were we at? And I'm like, oh, shit. How do I do 37?
If you went like this, that would have been amazing.
I swear to God, I forgot how fingers work. We figured it out.
We're great, buddy. I'm same page. Okay, good. Sorry.
Are you suffering from anxiety?
He's in a full sweat over there. He's like, I got to redo my comedy special. People are falling asleep to it.
I have to rename it. Lord of the Rings. I
guess. This is coming from Hannah. Okay. Hi, cool moms. I love the show and it makes my morning coffee and bottle cleaning a lot more enjoyable.
Ah,
that's very nice.
She drinks her coffee out of bottles? That's weird.
I have twin baby girls and I really want to get out and do more as a family. What are some easy first family outings you would suggest? If it helps, I'm in the Baltimore, D.C. area. Well, you could avoid getting shot.
Yes.
That's fun.
That's
to do
fun
with the
for the whole family.
Yeah. Absolutely. More Baltimore than D.C. But I agree. I know, when you're first starting to get out with the kid, that's very exciting, but it's also like kind of nerve-wracking, right? What did you do?
I will 100% tell you right now that the best thing I've ever learned in the whole thing is that the kids don't care. It's not about where you are. Go to the park.
Yeah.
The kids don't care. Yeah. They don't care. They don't need a zoo with the animals. They don't need all that. Just go to a park. Go someplace that's different for their eyeballs, and it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I learned that. I was watching my daughter. She took her first steps in the Bahamas. We were on vacation. And the first time the first time she touched grass was in the Bahamas.
Wait,
because she was old enough. She was like, you know, just turned whatever, like 6 months, I guess she was, or whatever. And she was able to like to stand up if you held her, you know? So we were walking outside and we were walking, and there was this huge, beautiful, like just in between in the resort, just a nice little parky kind of park.
Sure.
So we took her out and I put her feet down and she just touched the grass.
Just
her
the
eyes.
Way you said it though, it sounded like, this baby shall only touch the grass in the Bahamas.
She will touch Bahaman earth. So it was just the timing of it. And I was like, oh, and we put her down and she held, and she just, I saw all the stimulus go crazy in her eyes that she felt on her feet. And she was like, and then she just started doing this. And it was just so cool.
Yeah.
And then I was like, the kid, and I had a park up the street for me in the house. And I would just take her for a walk after that point up, you know, every day and every, you know, as much as I could. And she would just love it. And I was like, the kids don't care. They have no idea. Because then we went to San Diego and we did the wildlife reserve and all that stuff. And we were doing all this stuff and whatever. And she didn't care. She didn't care. She was honest. And I was like, oh, we're spending all this money doing all this stuff. The kids don't care. They just want something different for them. So I would say just get out and make it easy and comfortable for you. Because if you're comfortable and enjoying the time with your kid, that's what they're taking away from it.
You're 100% right. Because I think you want to go, oh, we got to go to the jump park. We got to go this. Yeah. We got to go. It's like they see a slide, they're happy.
Done.
That's all you have to do. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times we've been driving somewhere and I bought tickets to something or whatever. And the kids are like, oh, that park. Can we go to the park?
Yeah. Like, mother. You're driving by that, right?
Son of a.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Would have saved $75 or whatever it is. But to your point earlier, there's nothing more exciting than seeing, I remember seeing Livy would do this crawl thing where she had it down to a science, and it was so amazing to watch just this little being that was docile just a little bit ago and just like, just laying there.
Yeah, yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's doing this
the scooch and
perfect
the
synchronized, like, you know, it would be so awesome to see baby races.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to see baby races.
Yeah.
To parents at one end and just see the baby scooch. And then to go from that to, you know, Bambi's legs and just kind of like
the waddle. Like,
But that, the minute they can walk, it's over.
Yeah, it's done.
It's completely different. Yeah. Your responsibilities as a parent, because before you could just put it down or like in this, and now they can walk, they can go anywhere. It's like, it's pretty scary.
Yeah, so that time is a little sweet that you can just put. I will say,
You hear things falling.
Yes.
That's when you hear things, accidents, and you're like, oh God, what broke and all that stuff. Just
is the baby. I will say when they get older, it is fun to do those first experiences, and that's when you start thinking about this stuff. Like, I still remember the first time I saw a movie with Milana and her eyes, and when she was sitting in the movie theater eating the popcorn and went crazy. Like, it's that kind of stuff. Like, those moments, they come. I was just, but in the beginning, especially with twins, like my sister has twins, and I saw how she did it. And they just had this little park up the street that she used to take the twins to, and they used to love it. They would go and waddle around and do whatever. But I will say your comfort level is huge, because you want to be able to be in the moment with the kids and take away something from it too. Like, your kids are growing. They grow up fast. And
I can't imagine the responsibility of twins.
Yeah. Forget it.
And
she had a boy and a girl, so she's dealing with every issue.
Oh, man.
She's talking about periods and boners.
Is that the name of this episode, Joe? Periods and boners?
Two Cool Moms presents Periods and Boners. If we had a musical, I'd go see that musical.
Just break it down to Periods and Boners.
I'm just saying, because she had to have that talk. She's like, listen, that's a boner.
That's right.
That's your period. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, come in, kids, bring it in. Hi, this is your brother. You just got it at the same table.
Well, we got...
No, don't bother
me. That's it. It could be worse. Talk to your brother. He's got a boner.
Oh, my God. And then could you imagine triplets or like...
My aunt had triplets in like the 60s and the 70s.
What?
Like, are you kidding me? Like, before even... Now, because now they got like the triple strolls and all that. They didn't have that shit. She had like one was giving a piggyback. She was holding one under the arm. Like, that's crazy, right?
I mean, we grew up at a time where kids... Like, some of the parents would buy the packages and sew clothing for the kids.
Cloth diapers?
Can you imagine that?
Cloth diapers. Hand washing a cloth diaper.
I mean, I guess you get used to it, but
you get freaked out when I sneeze with an open mouth. Could you imagine you had to wash a cloth diaper? I'm just saying, like yeah. that. It's weird. Like, do you think about all this stuff? It's crazy. Like that people did that, and they survived. They didn't of course, have the, yeah. you know, the 6-point safety harness. I was in a basket. It's a basket like Moses in the back of my mom's Buick. That's what was happening.
Well, we would drive.
My sister was holding me.
Yeah.
My 6-year-old sister was holding me. No, my 6-year-old sister. Yeah. I'm in the hospital when I was a baby. My 6-year-old sister, they'd be like, all right, hold the baby. And I'd be in the back. My sister's in the back and she's holding me.
Oh my God. Yeah. And 1978. Now you, like legally, you have to face it a certain way.
In a tank.
Strapped in right. and all that other stuff. That's
bulletproof
nuts.
Glass. You need all the stuff to take a kid home from the.
Yeah. That's the scariest.
That's nuts. My 8-year-old sister was holding a 2-year-old brother, clicked in. Just the bottom click, not even the top. They had the top click. They had the long boat click that went over every kid in the back. And they weren't the same fatness. My little sister was sliding all over the bench.
Yeah.
My oldest sister was holding me. And my mom was just driving, smoking a cigarette, listening to friggin' Aretha Franklin. And that's how that was my childhood. Here I am. Yeah. Right into closed windows.
Oh, my God.
Everybody's secondhand smoking it.
That is crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I remember my father would drive to hockey and he'd take me. I'd go at like, you know, 8 years old to go watch him play in Princeton, New Jersey. And he'd do turns. I hear the beer cans rustling underneath the truck. I mean, that is crazy to think. It was just such a different time period. No bike helmets.
Bike helmet?
Yeah.
Bike helmet?
No.
Are you kidding me? If you wore a bike helmet, you got punched in the face. You wore a bike helmet. Bike helmet. I never even heard a bike helmet wasn't even a thing until like you know way after I was done with bike age.
Yeah.
You know, I think about like the most dangerous stuff I did because I was daredevil. I still am. Like I you know don't fear kind of thing is my thing. But I was, I remember there was a construction site.
Yeah.
Where they were building a new development of homes, and. Just the way they plowed the dirt made a huge ramp.
Right.
And then they had a part, it was near one of the houses, and they had finished like part of the roof.
Right.
But they didn't finish it all, so there was an overhang. So we had found a rope, and we climbed to the top of the roof and hung the rope just off the thing, just knotted it.
Yeah.
Hung the rope, and we would go as fast as we could on our bike, ghost ride our bike, jump and grab the thing
way.
And swing off it.
That is fucking
isn't that insane? That's what
but
we
those
did.
Are the things you do as
it
a
was
kid.
Like a, it was like it's a 14-foot drop. It was a huge mound of dirt, and we came off the top of the hill, and we just gunned it as fast as we could. And it,
you
know,
were the first to do it?
I did it. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Me, my friend Jason, Joseph, Billy did it. My friend Chris, we all did it. And it was great. And then one of us, it snapped. Who was it? It wasn't one of my friends. Yeah. Some kids had heard about it in the neighborhood, and the rope
then
fell
they
off.
Do it, right?
Yeah, and then the rope fell off, and the kid got hurt, and then we couldn't do it anymore. He ruined it for everybody.
My favorite thing to do on my BMX bike.
Oh, yeah.
Was to go as fast as I could, and then create a streak.
Oh,
that was the coolest thing I thought in the world. But making ramps are the best.
Oh, so
as a
fun.
Kid. Yeah.
When somebody threw out a mattress on Harbor Road. Forget it. That was stunt work. We grabbed a mattress and we put a place that we'd be jumping. We were jumping off my friend's roof onto a mattress that somebody was throwing out.
Crazy.
It was craziness, yeah?
There was a kid I grew up with that had a pool, and these kids would do gainers off the roof into the pool, a backwards flip into it, and you're just thinking
4 foot above ground pool.
Could you imagine like being the parent and seeing that going, are you nuts?
Yes.
Oh my God. But as a kid, yeah, you're going to do those 100%. Things, right? Free play.
Yeah.
And then you learn your lessons. You get wounded up. And
Do you have any bones you break? You broke your arm, right? You said?
I've never broken anything. The only thing that got broke was my jaw and my nose. My nose, I got sucker punched in college. I've got so many. This sucker punch, this scar, is it a scar here in my eyebrow?
Case? Oh, yeah, I see it.
This
one?
I got punched here because there was a bunch of kids. I just finished working at Kent State, and I'm pulling out to leave the parking lot, and these kids are standing at the exit. They won't leave. I'm like, hey, can you guys move? And they didn't move, and I roll down the window. I'm like, come on, guys, can you please move? And they don't move. And I just lay on the horn. I'm like, can you guys please move?
Yeah.
The one guy comes over and just comes into my window and just, bap, just drilled
me. Nowhere.
And I was like, you guys aren't going to move. But I ended up getting stitched.
And what had
your
jaw? Was your jaw a hockey game?
Jaw was that was after season one of Sullivan's Son. I went to Beecher's Madhouse at the Roosevelt, and I got
you were an adult
shangotsed, lottoed, and so I drank, and I was like, well, I'm gonna order a car, right? This is before Uber. or Uber had just come into play.
Right.
And so I got a cab, and the cab, you know how they line up?
Yep.
So I was like, hey, can we get this cab? And the guy's like, yeah, I'll be there in a second. He's smoking. He's smoking and talking to all these other guys. And he's taking his time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, sir, can we get going? And he's like, I'll be there when I'm done.
He
wants to finish his cigarette. Yeah. He's talking. So then after like another minute or two, I just want to go home. You know, I was like a little blottoed again. And I'm with my buddy Gareth. I go, can we go in the next car? And he goes, I'm coming. And he puts his cigarette down and he matches it and he starts still talking to the guys or whatever. I'm like, man, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Like, let's go. So I go, can we just get in the next cab? He's like, I'm coming now. I'm like, I don't want to go in your car. Yeah. And now it's becoming a little thing. So I forget kind of how it all played out, but what ended up happening was I was walking away and I spit on the back of his car.
Oh, Stevie.
That's what happened. And so he
not
came
cool,
over.
Not cool, mommy.
I know. Look, I take full accountability for this. And so he came over and he goes, you got to clean my car. I'm not cleaning your car. You were so lax about everything. Absolutely not. And then he just bat drilled me right there.
Caught you the right way.
And I knew instantly the minute he hit me, something was wrong. Like I didn't go down. My head just popped back and I was like, something's wrong. And my buddy Gareth is like, hey man, you just hit my friend. And Gareth got beat up.
No.
But I couldn't do it. I you know, he got bop, bop, bop. So I helped Gareth up. I'm like, we got to go. And that was the night I broke my jaw. And then.
You got in the second cab and you left.
I got in the second cab and left. And then as soon as that happened, all my friends were like, why don't you use Uber? And that's how I learned about Uber, was through the broken jaw. But that incident almost canceled Sullivan and Son.
Really?
Which today is the 10th anniversary of the first, of the airing of it. But July 19th, so I don't know when this airs. But because when that happened, production shut down for 6 weeks.
While you were getting healed up.
My jaw was wired shut.
Yeah.
And the promos for season two, I did with my jaw wired shut.
Just so the pictures.
Just the, wow. Yeah, I was like, hey, here's the bar.
And oh my God, really?
Yeah.
I gotta put all those pictures up.
I lost all this weight. I was down to like 165.
That's why you look so good in season two.
Yes.
Wow, what a
I
diet.
Lost a ton of weight. And I was drinking, I was making like smoothie milk,
right.
Smoothies and stuff, but I was making like, I was trying to keep weight on. I was losing so much weight. So I was making these ice cream and cookie milkshakes.
That's how I get my weight on.
Oh my God. It was the greatest. It was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And so, but then you're watching TV and any food commercial, I couldn't eat it.
You couldn't get a McRib. You couldn't get the Baconator. You're
Golden
out.
Corral, I remember they had a wing buffet, and I was just like, I'm going to destroy.
Right.
I never went, but it was like the one commercial.
What was the first thing? Do you remember what you ate?
The first meal I had, I was in, I got the wire off, and I was on a plane to New York City, and we were doing promotion for Sullivan & Son, season two, mm-hmm. And Brian Doyle Murray's nephew, is a chef,
mm-hmm.
And we went to his restaurant, and the first thing I ate was calamari, like an idiot. It's so chewy,
and
I couldn't do it. And so they told, they were like, start off with soup or whatever, and I'm knee-deep in a burger,
right,
you know,
right,
within
right.
5 minutes. So, yeah, the burger was the first, but calamari was the first thing I tried to eat, and
it.
Then the burger was the first thing I actually
You're like
did.
Kanye.
Get
through the wire.
Yeah.
And that's why you never spit on a cab. Thanks so much, everybody, for joining us at Two Cool Moms. We love you. I love you, Stevie.
Love you, buddy.
You did great. I was proud of you that you powered through. And we did some good advice, told some good stories, and we hope you enjoyed it. And sleep well.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Find out what it means to me. Gotta be, gotta be, gotta be, gotta be.
These two cool mommies love you, so show us some love.
Please rate us, review us, follow us on all social media, and subscribe to our YouTube.